I don't precisely remember the question. Maybe something about how I would go about defining what it means to be a Presbyterian. But I was pleasantly surprised by my answer. When it comes down to it, our tradition is all about grace. Such was my introduction to the youth at the First Presbyterian Church of San Luis Obispo. And I meant it when I said it all of those years ago, but there may have been a slight tinge of doubt, like I was only telling half of the truth. Yes, we believe that God's calling on our lives is entirely undeserved grace. But what about the ways that we go about treating one another? Is going to a presbytery meeting grace? Is serving on a committee grace? Is doing things decently and in order grace? Is our treatment of other human beings grace? Even if my belief in our tradition being all about grace is purely aspirational, it can feel at times as though we don't aspire for it nearly enough. It's something we're keen to receive the benefit from, but may not always believe that it is something that we need to demonstrate to one another. So what do we do with grace? Over the last 4 weeks, we've spent a considerable amount of time with Jesus' teaching in Luke 15. His three parables about sheep and coins and children being lost and then found again have been told in response to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttering about how Jesus welcomes tax collectors and sinners and eats with them. Jesus, in turn, has argued that God celebrates showing compassion to the lost children when they come back home, and hopes that the law-observant Pharisees and scribes might be able to celebrate and do the same. But what more can we learn from these passages? How are we invited to change and to be changed? Have we lost touch with God's grace? And if so, how can we be found again? During our examination of Jesus' parable about the father's love for his two sons, I've suggested that we are at times, each and every one of us, the younger, prodigal son, or the older son, and we are invited to become more and more like the father. Each of us are at some point lost and in need of being found. Each of us have experienced the strain that comes from trying to be dutiful. And each of us needs to grow towards being merciful as our Father is merciful. Regardless of which character from Jesus' parable strikes a chord with you today, it is important to note that the relationship between any of these characters is in need of an infusion of grace. The father needs to show grace to the younger son in welcoming him home, and to the older son so as to move him into a place of compassion. The two brothers need to extend apologies to one another for the ways that both of them have dishonored their father and their family through their callousness towards one another's needs. Grace is needed to once more make their family whole. And while this may be true for any family, it seems especially pertinent when we consider the family of God. We cannot function as God's family without the regular practice of enjoying grace. We will always have family members who are wandering off the path, who selfishly take more than they need at the least appropriate of times. These people will hurt and dishonor their family in their attempts to satisfy their own wants and desires, or perhaps to calm their fears and their resentments. We can only hope and pray that they will come back to themselves and then be welcomed with open arms and celebration. There will always be people who do the right thing out of duty, who become brusque in their behavior as they keep their heads down and plod along doing the work that needs to be done. These people may grow resentful of not receiving the support they need or the praise that they deserve. They need a gentle word of encouragement and a reminder of their true identity as God's children, not as God's servants. They need prodding to enter into God's party, which is being held in celebration of the people that they resent the most, the do-nothings who always seem to land on their feet and are rewarded for it. Yes, they need the grace of being able to let go and let loose so as to enjoy the goodness of God's world around them, an ongoing party of grace. And then fortunately, there are always people in the family of God who are striving to become more like their Heavenly Father. These people can love because they have first been loved by God. And similarly, they forgive since they are forgiven people. And they demonstrate grace because they have been claimed by grace. These are the peacemakers who are the children of God, who've glimpsed our Father's deep desire to extend love, forgiveness, and compassion to all of us who are in need of these things. As a response to God's grace, there are members of our family who live to demonstrate our Father's character by being gracious, and thus help to hold our entire family together. They have genuinely responded to our tradition's claim that we are all about grace. It's important to remember that at various points in our lives, that we will all at some point in at least one of our relationships be the prodigal, or perhaps the older son, or the father. Sometimes we will go on sinning in hopes that grace might abound. At some points, we'll resent all of the grace that we have been asked to show. And then there will be times when we will delight in being merciful as our Father is merciful. But regardless of the role that we are currently playing, we must remember that God has grace for us right now. That God has grace for us where we are at. We do not need to first obtain some level of holiness before God's grace will reach us. But God's grace right now wants to welcome you home as a beloved child. God is inviting for us to be changed and to grow, to accept grace and to show it. Because grace binds our family together, it is the foundational character of what it means to belong to the family of God. And so I hope that we all might pursue grace for our own lives, to experience it and to demonstrate it. I hope that we will make grace a priority, since it is really what we Christians should be all about. And in order to do this, I would recommend that we both seek to experience grace this week and to give it to others. Now, when I encourage for us to experience grace, I am not suggesting that you go out and sin boldly so that God's grace might abound more boldly still. That one's for Debbie, our Lutheran. Because all of life is grace. So we don't need to go out in search of it by misbehaving. We haven't done anything to merit this grace that we have received. The joy of sunshine, for example, or the refreshment of rain, the pleasure of cool water or the homeliness of a simple meal, the warmth of friendship, the comfort of work that is well done. This is all grace. So spend some time this week appreciating the goodness of this world and of this life. Speak your gratitude to God and to others for the unearned blessings of being human and of being in relationship. Go for a walk, or sit in front of a piece of art, or pet your cat, or savor your cup of coffee. Think about just how good our God is for making all of these things and creating you in such a way where you can appreciate that these things are good, that these things are acts of grace for you. That is what our God is wanting for you to do, to delight in the goodness of this world that our God has made. And one of the greatest goods our world has ever known is when the lost return home. All of the good things in life are but a precursor to the unimaginably joyous reality of someone recognizing that they are, in fact, the beloved of God. And since this is the climax of grace and one of the greatest goodnesses in all of creation, we are encouraged to give grace as well. So strive to live in grace with one another. This may mean forgiving someone who's done you wrong and helping them to celebrate and to be celebrated, or to provide them with a taste of the goodness of God's world. You see, grace takes many forms, since it is the basis of God's relationship with creation, meaning that you are invited to be creative in how you go and demonstrate grace to others. So be bold and offer God's grace to someone you know is in need of being reminded that they are God's beloved child, whom our Father longs to welcome back home. My friends, what a joyous thing it is to be a people of grace. Let us not lose sight of just how precious a thing it is to be held by our God. May we constantly strive to become more like our Father so as to show grace to our family members who are prodigal or who are dutiful children. Let us revel in God's grace for us and delight in showing it to others, for God's grace calls forth celebration from us. So let us rejoice in the truth that God's grace has come for us all, and thus we can be confident that we are, in fact, each and every one of us, the beloved children of God, in whom our Father is well pleased. Christ have mercy. Amen.